This presentation has been previously broadcast.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. I hope you had a blessed weekend. I hope you are faring well today, wherever you are. And I'm here to pray for you. We're live. It's great to be here with you. And I want to pray for the Pope today. I don't know if you were aware of this or not, but Holy Father had surgery. He's up. He had a meal. He's there walking. I understand Pope Benedict was praying fervently for him. He had intestinal surgery on Sunday at the Policlinico Gemelli. That's the hospital there in Rome. And I think he suffered from diverticulitis or something along those lines. But he's doing much better. So we want to thank God for that and pray for his continued health and the health of Pope Benedict. He's getting up there in age. I had read probably a couple months ago that he has difficulty even standing for Mass. So, you know, age wears on us, right? It knocks the body down. So we'll pray for our shepherds, our bishops and our priests and our cardinals as well. And I want to pray for you. I want to share a couple quick emails here, and then we'll take your calls. You can always join me. And a lot of you are new. A lot of people have read the book and want to pray the chaplet. Now, I just shared a story a little bit earlier about a woman who sent it to her sister. Her sister was married to an atheist, right? And he read the book that I wrote on Divine Mercy and is now praying the chaplet every day. I want to thank God for that. So, you know, let's pray for conversion today. Let's pray for the grace that God, you know, that he'll give that grace to those who are away from the faith, especially our loved ones. This person said, hey, could you please pray for our marriage that it doesn't end in divorce or permanent situation? Please, Drew, I need prayers. And that's the husband sending that message to me. This person says, could you pray for our daughter? She's 17, just returned from some freedoms from the pandemic, and she's gone wild. We know she's taking drugs. She's sneaking out. And this is our baby. Our two older sons, they went the same route. So we're feeling defeated and we're feeling lost. We have to do something different this time. Will you please pray that she's safe and doesn't die, that she turns from Satan and goes back to God. Please pray that we're led by God in our decisions around her in this battle for her soul. And look, you're not alone. I can't tell you how many parents have children that have wandered from God, who are engaged in illicit behaviors or are cohabitating or have rejected God outright. As parents, and I can't say this enough, and I just want you as a parent to know this, you know, God hears your prayers. And I am so convinced in the prayer for conversion that God hears it and he responds to it and he gives that soul sufficient grace to return to them. So you just keep praying. You know, think of St. Monica. Look at all the great conversion stories that are out there. You know, I mean, take hope from those and then also stand on the power of this prayer. We're going to join together in unity, you and I, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're going to petition our Heavenly Father and we're going to see miracles happen. We're going to see conversions take place. We're going to hear wonderful things. Another person said, hey, please pray for the healing of my son, William, stage 4 aggressive cancer, incurable. Drew, he has 6 young children. Please pray also for my son, Christian, who has an addiction. Pray for my daughter who has extreme anxiety, depression, and some other issues as well. I mean, look at these problems that some people have. It's absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. And they go on. So want to lift up your needs. So we'll pray together. I'm joined by our chief financial officer, and Amy is with us today. It's good to have you in the studio with us, Amy. I don't always get to see you, so it's a delight to pray with you live here. So welcome.
Thank you.
Anything you want to pray for or lift up?
Just the continued prayers for my family. I appreciate that.
All right, we'll do that. Pray for my family, too, and we will pray for each other. Jake is going to be taking your petitions, too. I know that not everybody's online, but if you are and you want to tweet us your petition, you can do that at Drew Mariani Show. You can email me, Drew at Relevant, or you can call us, 888-914-9149. We'll begin right now. We'll turn to the Lord. We'll do so with faith, and we'll trust in the name of the Father and of the Son. Of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. Judy is praying with us in Modesto, California.
Hey, Drew. I have a young friend who's the mother of three boys. She has stage 4 cancer, going through chemotherapy. It's a slow-growing cancer, but she's been sick for quite a while. And I would just like to bring her up in prayer.
All right, well, let's pray for her right now. Pray for that young mother with cancer. We'll pray for anyone who's battling it. This is a situation that affects 1 in 3 Americans, believe it or not. And the number for cancer is crazy. And Lord, I pray for a cure. I pray for an answer. I pray for the treatments that these souls are going through, that they be effective, whether it's radiation or chemo or immunotherapy, whatever it might be. But I also pray for their caregivers. And I know so many love and suffer when they see their loved ones suffering. And I just pray, I pray for your healing touch. And as I do every day, I just pray for those miracles, those incredible, very visible miracles from cancer that astound the doctors and that just instill hope and confidence and bring your reality into the lives of so many people. So I give you cancer and all those now crying out with the same intention as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Marie is listening in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Mary. I'm Marie. Good afternoon.
Hi. My name is Marie, and I want to pray for my brother who needs a bypass, cerebral bypass, and aortic valve replacement.
Okay.
He's in bad shape in the hospital, and I just hope that he gets better because we haven't been getting along, and I just want him to get better. That's all. Thank you.
You got it, Marie. Look, be at peace. We're going to pray for him right now, all right? We're going to pray. We're going to put him in the hands of our merciful Savior. I want to pray for you too. Look, let your brother know how much you love him. I know you might not have been getting along. All those temporal things fade away, don't they? Those arguments, those petty things. And just let him know that you're praying for him and that your spiritual family is praying for him. And I think of what the Lord told St. Faustina, and he told her, trust, you know, encourage souls, he said to her, to trust in my infinite mercy. That's what I want you to do. He goes, I love souls who have complete confidence in me. I'll do everything for them. So put your trust right now in the hands of the Lord. Trust in his infinite mercy. Have confidence in him. And then stand on his promise where he says he'll do everything for you. So, Lord, I pray right now for Marin. She has peace. I pray for those who have division in their families, their marriages, between parent and child, between coworker and friend. And I pray for the healing of those divisions. I also pray for the healing of hearts. I pray for those hearts, both physical and spiritual. And I give you them now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. You can always email your intentions or call me or put them on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. Jake monitors our Twitter and he's going to share a few of the intentions that came in for prayer now. Jake?
I've been told that Sue is on her deathbed as she lost consciousness, and she is actually 1 week shy of her 92nd birthday. So, you know, if it is the Lord's will that she be called home, we ask that the Lord give her mercy and grace and peace to her family, too. Charlene is adding in her grandson to the list. His name is Everett, and he's in the ER right now for asthma. And Lawrence is praying for his wife, Barbara. She's been having some eye problems, supposedly a rare disruptive infection for her eyes right now. So Lawrence will pray for her today.
All right, let's lift up those intentions. And we'll add Pat, who's listening in Los Angeles, California, to the prayers as well. Pat, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to ask for prayers for my family. I was recently laid off, and then my wife felt a lot of tension and saying, you know, I think you should move out. So we have this pressure. And then we kind of reconciled on that, but then there's just a lot of tension in the house. And also my son is in, he's 17, going through like a really fast-paced relationship where you know, he's a good kid. We've talked a lot about these things, but the other family wants him to go on trips with the daughter and the other family, and it's just seems like it's all going really too fast.
Yep.
And then thank you, Drew. And oh, I just wanted to mention, now that I just heard about the people with cancer, a friend of ours of our family is undergoing chemotherapy at UCLA for bone cancer. Yep. And so we just pray for her that that they will be effective and be able to treat that bone cancer. She's been fighting that for, I don't know, like 6 months or so.
Okay.
Well,
let's Pat, I want to pray for you in particular. I mean, it's hard as a husband to have your wife not want you and perhaps want you to leave. And as I was saying a little bit earlier in the broadcast, we were talking about how Satan loves to divide families, to go after the male in the family as well, and to divide. I want to pray for reconciliation with your wife, that gets resolved. And I believe God can do that. And I want you to do the same thing, okay? Because I want to pray for your family. You sound
Thank
like
you,
a wonderful
Drew.
Man, you know? And we'll pray for your son. We'll pray for all those other intentions you have. So you hang in there, okay?
Thank you, Drew.
You got it.
Okay.
Trust, okay? I want you to do that. You know, the Lord said to St. Faustina that life on earth is a struggle. He said, but I'm always with you. So don't fear. Okay, lean on me. Have no fear. You know, life is a struggle. Jesus is there to support you. I want everyone to know that. In these dark times, it's hard to trust. You know, the apostles cowered in the storm, right, on the sea. Peter looked down. He sank. You know, it's hard. We got to keep our eyes on focus because Jesus is there to support us. We need to trust him each and every day, no matter how difficult the circumstance, because he's always with you in the small struggles and in the big struggles. So as he told Faustina, lean on me. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement
for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Helen has listened to us in Whittier, California. Helen, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'd like everyone to pray for my granddaughter, Kate. She is 22 weeks pregnant, and she just got diagnosed with a condition of placenta previa.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just hoping that this condition resolves itself and that she will be able to carry the baby to full term, healthy and safe for both of them.
All right. Well, let's pray for that. What a beautiful intention. And Lord, we pray right now that you touch her granddaughter, who is pregnant and having complications. I want to pray for every woman right now who's pregnant, who has been given a bad diagnosis by the doctor or is fearful of bringing that child to life. I pray for all those women who right now are contemplating aborting their child. I pray for those couples who are struggling with infertility. And Lord, I just give you life. I give you pregnancy. I give you the complications that face that. And we thank you for the gift of life. And I just entrust these intentions to you, every mother and father out there now praying, Lord. I just pray for the graces and the answered prayers and the blessings that they're seeking from you. In your mercy, please hear them. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call today comes from Janie. She's listening in Texas. Janie, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you so much for providing this opportunity to get people around the nation to pray for my grandson, Joshua. He is only 3 weeks old, and he's been in the hospital for several days fighting an infection in his foot. And we're just praying that the antibiotic they are giving him will start to yield better results, and he will be healed completely and be able to go home soon.
Wow.
Well, and pray also for his parents.
Yeah, we'll certainly do that. And Janie, I want to pray for all of your personal intentions, okay? And for this, I feel sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit so tangibly when we pray this prayer together. And, I know God is hearing so many prayers, and conditions are going to change, and good news is coming for so many people. And let's just pray for that beautiful little grandson of yours, 3 weeks old. Wow, so tiny. Pray for that grandson of yours, Joshua. Lord, I put this child in your hands, and I ask just heal that child and immerse him in your merciful rays, and bring healing to all those who have children that are ill and all those in critical situations right now. Let me sneak one last call in here, if I could, before we run out of time. Jose Luis is listening in California. Hi, Jose. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Blessed for being able to pray with you and the whole world.
Amen.
In atonement for our sins, etc. I pray that the nation and the world pray for our intentions of the family. We're from Mexico. I was fortunate and blessed to have a classic Italian Irish education with his Salesian sisters and brothers and priests here in Los Angeles. And I have a very special intention to be able to bring, to be able to find the last money that we need to bring my family, my niece and her family here to, she's a single mother, here to Los Angeles, where it's safe.
Good.
And the children would be able to have a Salesian education.
Well, Jose, let's pray for that right now. Let's just bring that intention before the Lord. There are a lot of people with us right now. I'm going to pray for all of your personal needs. And as we conclude our chaplet, Lord, I give you this beautiful intention that families can be together. I ask for those struggling financially that your providence can come into their lives, that you'll surprise them with financial blessings, new jobs, new opportunities. I've seen it so often in my own life, the way you have surprised me, and I'm so grateful for it. I ask that others can see your great love and your mercy in that way. So I pray for all those on hold, all those who've written, and all the intentions that so many have right now. I give you their finances. I give you their health. I give you their relationships. I give you their families. I give you their hearts, Lord. We give you our hearts once again as we turn to you and pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for
us. Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Maria Goretti,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
You are not alone.
I'm devastated. I am crushed. And I don't... He's been working a lot lately and...
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
If you're gonna break my heart, just break.
Not more than 10 minutes ago.
And if you're gonna take your shot,
I don't really know what to think of it. I don't know what to think of it.
If you made up your mind, then maybe
he's out with another girl.
This fast.
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. And
have mercy.
Yeah, such a good rejoin, Jake. I was just listening to that last caller who touched me during the chaplet, who, you know, his wife wants him to leave. You know, they're having issues within the marriage. I don't know whether she's involved with somebody else or what the issue is. There may be none of that, but he's not alone. You know, the adultery, infidelity, betrayal. Boy, a lot of people are touched by it. Or, you know, sometimes people, they say, they just grow cold. It was Yeah, I always marvel at people who've been married 25 and 30 years and then they get divorced. And I contemplated it for a little bit. And I thought, you know what? You have those early years, you date, you're into one another big time, right? Can't get enough of each other. You start having your kids. The husband or whoever starts to build their career. The wife tends to raise the children, right? And after the kids are finally grown, you're married 25 years and now kids are young adults. You know, the husband has been married to his job. Maybe you were married to the kids in some respects and you find yourself empty nesters and you just don't recognize each other. The spark isn't there. And we see a lot of people at that point in time, you know, go other ways. Maybe they have midlife crises and, you know, the Facebook and a lot of social media places have opened up the door for a lot of infidelity. It always just breaks my heart that, it'd be such a bitter pill to swallow. I mean, it'd just be so hard. I mean, try to get my head around it. Over the weekend, I think it was yesterday, there was a patron saint. Her name was Saint Elizabeth of Portugal. And she's actually the patroness. If you're going through this, she's the patroness of victims of adultery, of jealousy, and unfaithfulness. All right? So maybe God's talking to you today. You know, maybe you should pray. Maybe it's your children are going through this right now. They're going through that bitter divorce. Pray to St. Elizabeth of Portugal. Great story. She was a queen. But she wasn't an ordinary queen, one who lived in luxury and never had any problems. No, she became a saint, right? Her pathway to sanctity was because she endured a lot from her husband. And I'm not saying, like, if you're in a bad relationship, you know, especially if there's abuse, you know, you got to separate yourself from that. You need to protect yourself and your children. But she was married to Dennis, the King of Portugal, and she was actually betrothed to him by arrangement when she was only 10 years old. She married, I think, when she was 12. She was a kid, right? So the two of them had children, but Dennis wasn't the most faithful man on the planet. In fact, he had 7 other children by 6 other women. So, you know, it's a lot of infidelity going on there. And his excuse was that, you know, he had to travel away from his home so often and he was gone so long. But having all those other children meant that there were rivals to the throne. And Elizabeth spent a lot of time trying to keep peace between her husband's son and her husband. And Dennis didn't give up his adulterous ways until the very last year of his life, when he was around 63 years of age. And that only happened because he became very ill. And despite the way he treated Elizabeth, despite his infidelity, this woman honored the vows of her marriage, and she did not leave his bedside except to go to Mass. She prayed for him. She prayed for his conversion. It was during his last year that he finally repented of his adultery, and he apologized to her, made sincere contrition. We just heard the story of Maria Goretti, you know, whose feast day it is today, who, you know, protected her own chastity, died, and how even the most egregious sinner, somebody like, you know, Alessandro, who tried to rape her and ultimately murdered her, could be forgiven. And it's what we need to do. You know, I mentioned this because, you know, her story in particular, the Elizabeth of Portugal, because adultery has got to be one of the hardest things that a marriage can recover from. But it can. It can. And I'm telling you, this is a great saint for you today. I want you to know that. Coming up in a moment, Greg and Julie Alexander are going to be stopping by. And I'd love to hear your story, too. Have you been through this? Have you been down this path? Has it been a tough go? Or maybe you're going through it right now. Maybe you're going to need some good advice. You know, maybe you need some prayer. I saw a survey I think it was Gallup that did this. They do an annual survey on what people think of moral issues, right? And you know, it consistently shows that adultery, that type of infidelity, is the least tolerated of all the issues that they look at. It always scores in the single digits, you know, for acceptability. But the most reliable data, it shows that at least 30% of all marriages suffer. And I was stunned by this. 1 out of 3 marriages, just about, 30% of all marriages, suffer from one of the spouses cheating on the other. Isn't that crazy? 30% of all marriages. So I know I'm speaking to several people right now. Maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe you're doing it right now. Maybe you've been through it. Doesn't help matters any when, you know, the internet facilitates this kind of cheating. Not just through social media like Facebook. There's been a lot of people who've, you know, we all live in the fantasy of the past. Oh, things were so great then, right? They go back, they try to rekindle these old relationships, and it is a poison pill. You know, those sites are specifically designed to get people together, and there are sites actually that are online too, and I won't give the names of these, that are there for cheating spouses. You know, there's actually websites, and they have tens of millions of people on these websites. You shouldn't be married if you're not going to be faithful. You know, one such site has 54 million users, and I don't want to give the name. I don't want to give it any more airtime than that, but that's more than a fifth of the country's adult population. And I don't know how many are married, right? But a fifth of the adults in this country, 54 million of them. That site has more than a fifth of our nation's adult population. A little more than half of the users on that site are, guess what? Women. It's not just a guy thing. You think, oh, these guys are lecherous, right? No. It takes two to tango. Half of the women on that 54 million user site, women. Women. A lot of unhappiness out there. A lot of marriages can't take that kind of pressure, and as a result, they fall apart. But for those marriages that do survive, I think recovering from it takes a lot of work. And I want to applaud you. If you are working on forgiveness, if you are working on making your marriage work, if you're giving that cheating spouse a second chance, you know, there's got to be true contrition and true amendment of purpose. You need to make sure that you know, that whatever it was, those wounds that caused that, are being addressed. You know, we just celebrated Independence Day, and on the church calendar, it's the, you know, Sunday, as I said, was the feast of Elizabeth of Portugal. Turn to her. You know, her husband repented. He changed his ways, right? Marriages can heal. Learn to forgive. I know it's hard. It's a lot easier to harbor unforgiveness than it is forgiveness. It takes work to reestablish trust. It takes work. That's not an easy path once it's lost. But you can do it. You can work through those issues that brought it on in the first place, and it's hard to do, but I tell you, it's worth it. Satan hates the family. I've been talking about that all day. You know, he's a great enmity for the family. And Greg and Julie Alexander know that intimately. They founded a place, and you might find this is a great resource. They founded a place called the Alexander House in San Antonio, Texas. And this house they found that helps couples deal with these kinds of situations. They've been with me in the past. They went through a very difficult time in their own marriage, and it was God's intervention. It was God's grace that helped to straighten it out. And if you want to find them online, if you want to check out this site, their website's pretty easy to remember, thealexanderhouse.org, thealexanderhouse.org. And we'll take your calls. You want to speak, you've got a question, a problem, you need a, you know, shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen, or you just need some direction. It's 888-914-9149. Feel free to join our conversation. It's good to have Greg and Julie back with me once again. Hey, guys, welcome. Thank you for your time. Thanks for what you do. You have a beautiful ministry.
Oh, thank you so much, Drew. It's good to be back with you.
Yes, thank you so much, especially covering this sensitive topic, which, of course, as you know, is very prevalent in our society today, and it needs to be addressed. So thank you for bringing it to the surface.
Honestly, it's my pleasure. I saw the Feast of St. Elizabeth the other day, and Maria Goretti today. I mean, forgiveness is such an important part of this process. But I was shocked, you know, when I do my show prep and I'm looking at some of the data out there that, you know, one of the two members of that website, and again, I'm going to keep the name private, which has 54 million members, half of them are women, you know, so it's not strictly cheating men on this type of thing. But the fact that one in three marriages has been touched by infidelity, what's up with that? I mean, give me your take on this. I mean, why are we seeing it? And, you know, what's causing it? Is it, you know, I don't want to always throw point fingers at pornography or the internet, but I mean, you have one in three marriages, one of the spouses not being faithful, that's problematic.
It's hugely problematic, and it's, again, when you said it was your pleasure to have us on, it's our pain.
Oh, wow.
Because we deal with this every day, and it's just amazing that truly what you say, it doesn't shock us. Every day we're saddened, but nothing shocks us anymore, and I would say most of the issues that we see on this subject with infidelity and not being committed fully and completely to the marriage is one out of ignorance. I mean, people come and enter into the sacrament of marriage not having any clue who God is, who they are in terms of God's son and daughter, and they come in completely undernourished, if you will, to the point where they are empty of God, and they try to come and be God for each other, And every time that will fail.
Wow.
When we do not put God in the center of our lives, in the center of our marriage, anyone is capable of doing the most horrific thing.
Wow. Yeah, it's so true. There's a lot of relationships out there that don't have God, though. I mean, are they doomed? I mean, how do you say it? Because I'm sure a lot of people are listening and say, well, yeah, my husband's not really into to God, you know, or to the faith or to religion, but I am, or it might be vice versa. I mean, how important is that? I know you say it's critical, but what about those relationships where God is absent?
Yeah, and that's where a lot of times, Drew, I think couples fall into those difficulties. I always go back, and I think what St. Thomas Aquinas said, that God allows bad things to happen to bring forth their greater good. And we have this infinite God, but we are so short-sighted because we're only focused on our immediate gratification. God is looking at the long term. And so if God allows infidelity to take place in your marriage, it's because he's wanting to shake the tree to wake you up, to get you to come back to him, so that we can begin to live a life with God in the center, more importantly, so that when we die, we can spend eternity with him. But again, so many young, especially young couples today, I'll say, have, again, as Julie alluded to, no understanding as to what marriage is. So they come into marriage, one, with not having a good foundation, but for the wrong reasons. They're looking totally for this other person to do everything for them. And you can almost say that the wedding vow, to death do us part, has been replaced with as long as I'm happy. Because once we find that we're not happy in a relationship, then we start looking for something else that's going to bring us that excitement, that fulfillment that we're not getting from the other person. And if that persists, then divorce is inevitable.
Yeah, it's so true. The I see this really as a spiritual thing. I mean, you talk about God, people can say, oh, well, wait a minute, it's couples growing apart, like the scenario that I mentioned, you know, the husband's married to his job and, you know, they find themselves 25 years later after having lived together and raised the kids, they've lost the spark, you know, and think, oh, or it's the Facebook, it's the, it's the internet, or it's pornography. My husband's going down this rabbit hole. It's terrible, or it's whatever, right? But I really think at the heart of this, it is a spiritual thing, and I talked about this a little bit earlier today in the program. John Paul II has this very famous, very, I just think, sage quote where he says, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. And I think Satan has such enmity, such hatred for the family that he knows people's weaknesses, and
absolutely,
he wants to infiltrate and destroy. No, go ahead, Drew.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I'm sorry I jumped in, but you...
No, she's rocking back and
please,
forth.
Please, no, go ahead. Out,
Drew.
Preach it, sister.
Yeah,
give
because
it
gets to the point where you're right, because the foundation, if you look at the foundation of all things, it is the marriage, because everything is begotten by the marriage. And if you were the enemy, where would you attack? You attack the headquarters.
Yeah,
because if you attack the headquarters, then everything else falls. And we've heard it time and time again. What was Sister St. Lucia, when she said the final battle between God and Satan is between marriage and the family.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, we've been doing this work, this mission for 22 years, and the battle has become so fierce. We used to hear from people all the time, Drew, that, oh, they didn't really know God and they went to church, kind of maybe not, hadn't been in years. Now we have the people coming to us that go to daily communion. They go to mass every day and they go to confession, and he's attacking. We say now he's going for the big ones, because whoever he can take out that can cause the most damage, that's who we see Satan is going after. So nobody is immune to this issue. And we call this the pandemic of our times, is marriages and families being ripped apart.
Yeah, I think it's such a wonderful point. You're so right. I mean, you are so right. And you got to be on guard. I mean, here at Relevant Radio, we have this policy, right, where we need, you know, windows in our doors or glass. You know, you can't be one-on-one male with female. Billy Graham would not, you know, if there's a third person there, it's fine. If you're in a work environment, other people around, it's fine. But, you know, I used to take one of my colleagues who has the same birthday as me to lunch on our birthday all the time. Very innocent, very platonic. And then, you know, when this policy went into effect, I thought, that's the stupidest policy I've ever heard of. It's ridiculous. Why would you? Come on. You know, she's a third order Carmelite. I'm a married man. This is insane, right? But in retrospect, I thought, you know what? That is a good thing. One, others may see me with this woman. It could breed scandal. Two, you know, you don't want to be exposed to that type of temptation. Billy Graham wouldn't even get into an elevator, with a woman, unless somebody else was with him. And of course, there could have been allegations, against him in the privacy of that thing. Mike Pence, I believe, does the same thing, and he took a lot of heat for that. So I think we got to be on our guard too, right? I mean, these types of things that we can do to protect ourselves are critical, I would think.
Oh, absolutely, and Drew, I call it staying away from the near occasion of sin. And I want to go back and speak to our own life as how we were experiencing the difficulties in our marriage. And as we began to go out and with lunch or dinner with the opposite sex, and quite naturally you start talking about the problems in your marriage. Yeah. And if you're sitting across the table from an opportunist, they're just looking for that opportunity to be able to seize for their benefit. And, you know, saying, oh, my goodness, man, if I was your husband, I would do this for you. I would treat you like this. And so you get carried away. You think, really? And you start to think that maybe there is something better out there as opposed to what I have in my marriage. And if, again, you continue on that path, you're going to be very easily swept away.
Yeah, and if I can come in again quick, Drew, because it's important to say infidelity isn't just a sexual matter. Infidelity begins with emotional infidelity. Sharing things with someone of the opposite sex that I shouldn't be sharing, that's infidelity. We are supposed to be faithful to God in all matters, and especially in our marriages. And we start to see this, that when people are having issues and problems, as you said, it's perfect. That I see that today, that you know, anybody nowadays, they can be unfaithful. They can cheat. They can go away from their spouse. They can do, but the solid, attractive, in a sense, people are those that are standing firm and saying, you know, I'm not going to get in that car with a woman or a man. I'm not going to go to lunch or a dinner with someone of the opposite sex, because I never want to put myself in a position where somebody may question my integrity and what I'm doing. Because in all things, we're supposed to give glory to God. Amen. And I already went down that path, and I caused so much hurt and pain in my marriage in the beginning when we didn't know God and we just went to church because it's what you're supposed to do. But that pain can resurface still to these days because of what I did in my marriage against Greg, but also against God. There is so much hurt and pain that needs to be fixed. So if there's anybody out there listening now, do not think it's worth going outside of your marriage, because there's so many ramifications and so many things and consequences you will have to deal with the rest of your life.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had to take a short pause. When we come back, maybe you can share some of your stories. Greg, I want to hear from you too. I mean, I would be haunted by that act, and it takes a big person, takes heroic virtue to be able to forgive and move forward. And it's also the hallmark of real love. My guests today, Greg and Julie Alexander. We'll take your call. Sandra in Oregon, you're up first when we come back as well. And you can get in now at 888-914-9149.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
You are not alone. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I first looked at his history and saw inappropriate sites. Then I went to his Facebook, and that is where I saw messages between the two of them. I started reading the messages out loud. I got really upset.
Days will come when you don't have.
Tony pretty much immediately got on his knees and asked for forgiveness from God.
Wondering if you ever could be loved.
We both prayed and cried a lot that night.
I sat there while she was going through this, and I was seeing the pain in her face. As she was reading this, I would see her get angry. I would see her get sad. I would see tears come in her eyes. But this was the beginning of our restoration, of our marriage and our relationship.
Beautiful.
Even though the plane ride, beautiful. That next day coming home was difficult.
You are made for so much more than all of this.
She cuddled up to me and said, it's going to be all right.
Go, God!
Amen.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It is so good to be able to spend my afternoon with you and address the reality of life. And life has highs, it has lows. It has bitterness and suffering, and it has new beginnings and joy. And today we're talking about that. I'm taking a look at the bitter cup that too many people drink from, that bitter cup of infidelity, of jealousy, of adultery, of unfaithfulness. It's hard, but there is healing out there. I want you to know that. I know that when you're wounded, when you're realizing one spouse isn't faithful, you think there's no way you'll ever get over that. But you can be a witness for so many others. And love conquers and love heals all wounds. I really do believe that. I'm joined today by two very heroic people who've gone down this path. They are helping other people heal now. And it's great to have with me Greg and Julie Alexander. They're the founders of the Alexander House in San Antonio, Texas. And you can check them out at thealexanderhouse.org. And thank you both again for your witness and for being here. Let's do this, Greg, Julie. Let's grab a quick call. Sandra is listening in Oregon, and her husband has a porn addiction. And this is, we talked about a little bit earlier, a tremendous infidelity as well. It's not just the spouse cheating on you. There's other ways of being unfaithful. Sandra, good afternoon. You're on the air with Greg and Julie Alexander.
Thank you so much, Drew. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Honestly, when I was waiting, I was thinking, what am I going to say? But you know what I thought? Thank you so much for talking about these topics. I've been married for 23 years, and it's been a hard journey. By the grace of God, I have been able to forgive my husband multiple times. And me educate myself of addiction. Try to understand and to try to be supportive of my husband. We separated years ago for 2 years because after our son found out about his affair, it was very devastated. After being separated for 2 years, again, by the grace of God, I was able to forgive him and ask him if he was willing to do what it takes to save the marriage, for him to become the father that he needs to be for my kids.
Right.
We came back. My kids told me he's doing better. We can see it. We never married in the Catholic Church. So what you guys said really is so truth. We start relationships. I'm cradle Catholic. He's not. He became Catholic years after. It's so true. We come into a marriage, we're not really knowing what we're doing and what we don't have the commitment.
Right.
We've been doing marriage preparation, and some things come up, and I told my priest, I think my husband needs help. Do not make it long. About 2 months ago, I told my priest, I don't think he's ready. Something is going on. Honestly, this is what concerns me, because from what I hear from my priest was, you need to stop it, and you just need to leave that alone, and you just need to commit and get married. And you know, something in my heart would tell me, something here is not going on. Something is going on.
Sandra, let me jump in for a second, just because my producer was saying to me that your husband had a porn addiction, right?
Yes.
And you were married for 20 years, and you did separate?
23. Yes.
And you just found out that he's been cheating on you.
Last weekend he was having an affair again for 2 months. He said he stopped it because he could hear my voice and the kids' voice, and he was doing better. Okay. And like they were saying, and you show right now, it's not about. He says that there was more, right. You know. And I know it's right. Anyway. It's hard. Honestly, I want to call because I want to thank you guys to talk about this topic. As a lot of family, like me, even after a lot of years, this time, honestly, I don't even know what I'm going to do. But all these shows, like when I was listening, really, I was like, oh my gosh, I needed to hear this today. So I want to thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart.
Well, Sandra, let's help you. Let's do this right now. We have two experts. Greg and Julie Alexander are with us. And Sandra, you're in a situation that's tough. I mean, Greg, Julie, her husband's addicted to pornography, and addiction's a real thing. Some are addicted to drugs, to alcohol, to other things along those lines. But he's taken it beyond something that is solitary, even though that's an infidelity, and he is now having an affair. So your advice to her, I mean, How can you help? How can she get help?
Yeah, first of all, Sandra, I want to thank you for your courage and calling and sharing your story. And I want to honor you also for standing for your marriage and trying to be there for your husband and help bring him back to, for lack of a better word, sobriety, if you will. But my first question would have been, has he sought out any help for the pornography? You know, a lot of times we fail to understand the seriousness of that. It's not just looking at a few images. There is indeed an addiction there. I mean, men are jeopardizing marriages and families and jobs, so we have to know that there's something there, that pull, that is stronger than their ability to be able to overcome it. And so if he's not seeking specific help for that problem, of course, it's just going to continue to get worse, because it'll transfer from those images or the movies to now, I want to have that real person. And so I'm not surprised that the infidelity has been there. Again, given that you guys are Catholic, I would strongly suggest that you guys get your marriage validated and make it be a sacrament. You know, again, that's something, Drew, that a lot of people fail to understand, that it's not just that this relationship that we got in. It's a sacrament. Christ elevated it to a sacrament so that we can have the grace, and that grace to care and to forgive and to get over these difficult times.
That's such a great point, Greg. I'll tell you what, I hear the bell ringing. That means I had to take a short pause because news and headlines are coming up. We're going to be back on the other side in just a minute or two. And we'll pick up the conversation there, and we'll talk much more. There is spiritual protection that comes with that sacramental covenant. And we could talk about it. If you're on hold, Lisa, Debbie, Lucy, Kathy, everyone else, I'll get your calls, okay? Stay with me.